Okay, now, just for a warning, once again, as stated in the beginning of the message, I'm going to remind you, this message is a message with some pretty heavy content that is not appropriate for young ears. So, if you do have young ones about, once again, this is a reminder to be listening either to this message in private or get the young ones out of sound range, please. Okay, the first thing I'd like to look into is this issue of what is known as adultery. Adultery, you know, everybody's familiar with the Ten Commandments, and it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, what is adultery? Is it two people that are not married having sex? Is that really what it is? Or is it more? Well, the easiest way to find out is to look at the Bible and see what it has to say on adultery. Well, the Bible gives us a description of spiritual adultery. And I think if we look at what the spiritual description of adultery is, we'll have a good idea of what the natural adultery in the physical world would be. So, let's look at some comparative verses of spiritual adultery are, and we're going to read each text. So the first one I want you to look at, the first one, please turn to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. There's a couple here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 22. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 22. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 22.
They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lying with. In the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hadst a whore's forehead. Thou refusedst to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely, as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God.
Now, our next verse, our next text, is in the same book. Just flip a few more pages to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 5 through 9.
I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke, and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery, and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning, every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?
Okay, we're still looking into this issue of spiritual adultery. And our next verse that we want to look in, we're still in the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to jump a few more chapters to Jeremiah chapter 13, Jeremiah chapter 13, Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 25 through 27, Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 25 through 27, Jeremiah verses 25 through 27.
This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me, and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thine adulteries, and thy neighings, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be?
Okay, now let's look a few more chapters, about 10 more chapters down the line, into Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 9 through 16. Jeremiah 23, verses 9 through 16. Jeremiah 23, verses 9 through 16.
Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on, and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal, and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery, and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord.
Okay, now we're going to switch books on you of the Bible as we continue this thought on spiritual adultery. And we're going to the book of Ezekiel chapter 23, Ezekiel chapter 23, verses 35 through 47, Ezekiel 23, verses 35 through 47.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Because thou hast forgotten me, and cast me behind thy back, therefore bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. The Lord said moreover unto me, Son of man, wilt thou judge Aholah and Aholibah? Yea, declare unto them their abominations, that they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire, to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. And furthermore, that ye have sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent, and lo, they came. For whom thou didst wash thyself, paintedst thy eyes, and deckedst thyself with ornaments, and sattest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. And a voice of a multitude, being at ease, was with her. And with the men of the common sort were brought Sabaeans from the wilderness, which put bracelets upon their hands, and beautiful crowns upon their heads. Then said I unto her that was old in adulteries, Will they now commit whoredoms with her, and she with them? Yet they went in unto her, as they go in unto a woman that playeth the harlot. So went they in unto Aholah, and unto Aholibah, the lewd women. And the righteous men, they shall judge them after the manner of adulteresses, and after the manner of women that shed blood, because they are adulteresses, and blood is in their hands. For thus saith the Lord God, I will bring up a company upon them, and will give them to be removed and spoiled. And the company shall stone them with stones, and dispatch them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters, and burn up their houses with fire.
Okay, now, the last verse I would like you to consider in this set of verses we've been comparing about spiritual adultery, is found in Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 through 10.
Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhama, Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall, that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return, and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand.
Okay, so, after reading all these texts, what do we understand about spiritual adultery? Well, spiritual adultery, if you look at it from the spiritual sense, meaning how the children of Israel reacted and did around God, we can then understand what it would be like in the physical sense between a husband and a wife. Notice, I say husband to a wife, because later in this message we're going to find out never once does the word fornication or adultery, because later fornication you're going to find is the same thing as adultery. They're synonymous with each other. Never once do you find the word fornication or adultery in relationship to a husband or wife in marriage related outside of that marriage union. Okay? That's interesting that we're going to find out. All through this message, you're going to find out. I want you to be observant as we study this. Not once is the word fornication or adultery. I want you to take notes if you got the guts there, snobs. Not once is the word fornication or adultery used outside of the marriage union. So, first lie of Dr. Broadbottom at Baylor University that he has told for thousands of years. Sorry. In spiritual adultery, it is not the sex or improper union of two people that are not married that are, even if they're planning to be married, before sex. This is not the sexual union of two people before marriage. Sorry, that is not what this is. Adultery or fornication is not that. Sex outside of marriage is not adultery or fornication. Rather, adultery and fornication are, as we saw in spiritual adultery, the very same thing. It is the immoral sexual union outside of, quote, marriage, unquote. Meaning, if I am married, which I am, and I go outside of a marriage union and have a sexual relations with another who I am not, quote, married, unquote, to, then that is adultery and or fornication. Read it and weep. So spiritual fornication, as we have noticed just here, is example when I'm supposed to be married up with Jesus Christ as Savior and going off with Baal, or going to the Mormon church and having Joseph Smith as my God, or Charles Taz Russell, or the Catholic Church and the Pope, or whatever. Sorry, but I'm supposed to only have one God. Or if I have the almighty dollar bill. Amen, churches. I know I just stepped on your toes. But no, I am supposed to only have one God, and that God is Jesus and Jesus alone. So, the truth is, spiritual fornication, I'm sorry, churches, you've been doing it. Spiritual adultery, you've been doing it for years and years and years and years and hundreds of thousands of years. Every time you pick up your tithe bucket and you've had Nebby up there saying, the minute you hear the music, bow down and put your money in the bucket. You've had your spiritual adultery for hundreds of thousands of years. When you say 10%, you've had spiritual adultery for years with your tithe bucket and your money god. You've had your spiritual adultery with your fashion god, your looks god, your popularity god. Should I continue? Amen. You're more worried about that and your gossip god and all the rest of it than you are about having Jesus. So, and you're worried about two people that are planning to get married and just happen to have a little sexual relations before marriage. We're going to be taking care of that later too. But let's stay with the subject. Adultery is not, according to spiritual adultery, is not, as we just noticed, is not two people having sex or even God having sex. Look, if you had sex with a false god and you were not with Jesus, remember, you had sex with the devil, quote unquote, long before you got saved. That was not adultery. That was not spiritual adultery. You were just plain and simple lost. But the minute you got saved, you ended up with Jesus, okay? But to go back with the devil, that is spiritual adultery. Why? Because you are with Jesus. You're not supposed to be running off back to the devil. So, the fact is, you are supposed to be with only one God, and that is Jesus. Every time you backslide, that is a type of spiritual adultery. You're supposed to have only one lover, one God, and that is Jesus. So when you go after all these other gods, whether it's the money god or whatever, you have another lover. You need only one, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Whether you like that kind of preaching or not, that's the facts. Spiritual adultery is sex outside of marriage. That is what adultery is. Now, yes, there's true. A man may look over at another woman and say, she's good looking. Okay? We're going to get into that eventually here. Now, we're going to get into that. And eventually, we're going to talk about that. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Okay, now, on this same line of like a spiritual adultery, let's try to understand it a little better by looking at a type of spiritual wife who commits adultery or a spiritual type of adultery and takes strangers or strange husbands or strange men, okay? Not strange husbands, but strange men instead of her husband, okay? Let's look in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. We're going to read a big passage here. So Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 1 through 63. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 1 through 63. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 1 through 63.
Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, Live. Yea, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, Live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou hast increased, and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen, and silk, and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour, and honey, and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playedst the harlot because of thy renown, and pouredst out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and deckedst thy high places with divers colors, and playedst the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold, and of my silver which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them, and tookest thy broidered garments, and coveredst them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also which I gave thee, fine flour, and oil, and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savour. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children, and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare, and wast polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldest not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms. And in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers, with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thine houses with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will be no more angry. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things, behold, therefore, I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God, and thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, every one that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but, as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty, and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sisters. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, in that thou art a comfort unto them. When thy sisters, Sodom and her daughters, shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride, before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abominations, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God.
Well, as you can see, yes, spiritual adultery, or in this case, a wife that is a spiritual wife, in this case, Jerusalem, committing spiritual adultery, leaving God for false gods, which was the other nations, in a different type of adultery, which is to leave God for another god who she was not married to. That's what adultery is in the spiritual sense. Well, in the physical sense, it would be the same thing. And did you notice in this text, the word fornication is used as well. So they are the same meaning. fornication and adultery are the same thing. The same thing. Fornication and adultery. So, we do have a connection here. They are connected. They are the same thing. So, just like eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and the word face are the same thing. They just, one is a description of the face, and the other is the general term for all of those parts. They're synonymous. They mean the same thing, okay? So, when we see the word fornication, or we see the word adultery, they mean the same thing. So, when somebody comes to you from now on and tells you, well, fornication means one thing, one is worse than the other, oh, poppycock. No, they are the same identical thing. One is not worse than the other. They are the same thing. They are no worse than the other. They are exactly the same thing. No worse, no better. They are exactly the same thing. And people need to get off this garbage. They are exactly the same because they are not different than each other. They are exactly the same. Fornication and adultery are exactly the same. Just like gasoline and petroleum, liquid are the same thing, okay? So, when we talk about adultery, we talk about fornication, we are talking about the same thing. So, spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication are the same thing. And when we talk about the physical fornication and physical adultery, we're talking about the same thing here in the Bible. Okay, the next thing I want to bring up is, if you look at this spiritual adultery type of thing, or adultery, when you look at it, it defiles the neighbor's wife. Or in this case, it defiles your neighbor, no matter who they are. Because remember, Jesus, who they asked him, who is my neighbor? And Jesus says, anybody basically that you come in contact with, that is your neighbor. So basically, it defiles the neighbor's wife. Because when you go messing with somebody, you're messing with somebody's wife, obviously. So, okay. And if they're not married and you are married, you're defiling somebody, okay? So, you're defiling them when you're committing adultery. So, okay, obviously you're committing adultery when you're married and they're not, and you're messing with them. Obviously, if you're not married, quote, married, unquote, to that person, you're defiling them. Now, so, let's take a look first in Ezekiel. Let's do some comparative verses. We got a few comparative verses here. Ezekiel, the first one is in Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 4 through 20. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 4 through 20. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 4 through 20.
Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase? Shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now lo, if he beget a son, that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth, and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him.
Okay, now, the next one I want you to consider is in Ezekiel chapter 22, just jumping a few chapters, Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 6 through 12, Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 6 through 12. Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 6 through 12.
Behold, the princes of Israel, every one, were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things, and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood. And in thee they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God.
Okay, the last verses that I'd like you to consider on this situation of defiling the neighbor's wife, spiritually defiling the neighbor's wife, is found in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, jump over just a few more chapters. Ezekiel chapter 33. Verses 25 and 26. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 25 and 26. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 25 and verse 26.
Wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood. And shall ye possess the land? Ye stand upon your sword, ye work abomination, and ye defile every one his neighbor's wife. And shall ye possess the land?
All right. So, we now see that defiling the neighbor's wife is very much, in spiritual adultery, the same thing as, in adultery, as the same thing as fornication, or as just committing adultery. Basically, you're leaving your love. You're walking away from what you should have in your marriage. You're going to somebody else. And in spiritual adultery, they're leaving God for another God. It don't take rocket science to figure this out. All you need to know is you're leaving God for another God. You're leaving the true God for a false God. In spiritual adultery, if that's true, then you're leaving your true husband for someone who is not your husband. If it's your wife, you're leaving your true wife for someone who is not your wife. It don't take rocket science to figure that out. This is not two people that are not married at all that are having some sort of relation outside of that union at all. See, it don't take rocket science to figure this out. This is not a man and a woman that are having some sort of relationship outside of a union, and they've never been married. Neither of them are unmarried. It doesn't say, well, this person's unmarried, so they're having a relationship and going to bed together because they're unmarried. That is not what this said at all. None of these verses so far say that. So, sorry, Dr. Broadbottom at Baylor University. Wrong again. So, sorry, churches. So far, your theory doesn't hold water. Your strainer basket's got too many holes. Sorry, it don't work. So, you better start reading your Bibles. Instead of that NIV you've been reading, your Never Inspired Vomit version, or your dead Bible instead of your living version, you better start, instead of reading the so-called living Bible, well, that ain't living, that's dead. That's the dead Bible. Instead of reading the dead Bible, you better be reading the real living Bible, the King James Version, the AV 1611. Then you'd find this stuff out. Well, I can't understand that archaic English. Oh, well, you don't have no trouble with Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Don't have no problem with that. But you can't understand the King James? I know why you can't understand it, because you don't want to understand, for God so loved the world. Or, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't understand that because you don't want to accept Jesus as your Savior. Why don't you get on your face and get saved? Amen. Okay, now, as you know, I've talked about spiritual adultery. Now, and then I've also mentioned about fornication in relationship to adultery, and I said that fornication and adultery are the same thing. And then I also mentioned that I am going to let God, it's be God's word and not my word. Time for me to put my foot, or my money, or I should say, where my mouth is, they say. Okay? Time to back up my big mouth with my actions, right? Okay? Back it up with the Bible, right? Okay, we're going to do just that. Because I've already showed just in one verse that spiritual fornication was in a text with spiritual adultery. Well, how about a full description of spiritual fornication that matches spiritual adultery? All right, time to back it up with the Bible, the King James, not this nasty inspired vomit version, or the dead Bible, not the living Bible, but the dead Bible, but we're talking about the King James authorized version. Here we go. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 23, Isaiah chapter 23, verses 15 to 18, Isaiah chapter 23, verses 15 to 18, Isaiah chapter 23, verses 15 to 18.
And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot. Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing.
All right, now, who is being described here? It's pretty obvious who's being described here. Tyre is another nation, king of another nation, who's being described as the whore. Jerusalem, nation of Israel. Because the 70 years is obviously her captivity, etc., etc. And he's saying that at the end of that, she's going to end up having to make merchandise of her stinking harlot self, because she's been running around with all these other gods and nations and stuff. And finally, it's going to come to haunt her and all that. So, hello, fornication is the same as spiritual adultery, plain and simple. So, spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication, same thing. They tie together. So, to those who want to say, fornication's a different thing than adultery. No, wrong. Same thing. Same equivalent. No different. So let's not twist the two and try to make one worse than the other. They're the same thing. They are a sexual relationship outside of marriage. It is a sexual relationship outside of marriage. It is not just looking at somebody outside of marriage. It is not saying, ooh, baby. No, it's the real McCoy. Okay? So let's get that straight. It's when you actually commit the act. Okay? So that's what it is. It is nothing more, nothing less, nothing else but the act. Because that is what God said. He said, when you commit the act, when you're actually doing it, that is what it is. Because that's what he said Jerusalem was doing. That's what Judea was doing. That's what was the nation Israel was doing when they were messing around with these other gods. They were actually in the act. He said it wasn't because they were just happened to see the other gods of the other nations and said, oh, well, hey, I know about their gods. Oh, I know about Baal. Remember when they knew about the golden calf in Egypt? They knew about it, but they didn't worship it. So, no, they didn't know about it. That wasn't idolatry. It was idolatry when they had the idol, okay? That's when it became spiritual adultery. Hello, so let's get it straight. It wasn't spiritual fornication when they saw the golden calf over in Egypt and said, no, we're not going to have this in our house. It became spiritual fornication when the golden calf, when they made the golden calf at the bottom of Sinai and they bowed down and worshiped it. Hello, that's spiritual fornication. Got it? So let's keep it straight. Let's keep it Bible. Let's understand that thing and let's keep it right with God. Okay? Let's keep it within the King James. Let's not twist that Bible. Amen. Let's not do damage to God's word. Remember what he said. If you add to his word or you subtract from it, there's some big time curses coming. So let's not add or subtract the word of God. Amen. Okay, now let's go into another scripture here. It is about the evil, the whorish, the strange. Notice the keyword strange. An adulterous woman, or we could also put that as man, is described in this text. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 through 35. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 through 35. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 through 35. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 through 35.
For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts.
Very interesting. You see that? The adulterous and whorish woman, who is a strange woman, that means somebody you're not married to. That is somebody you don't know. That is not your wife. That is somebody you're not married to. That's why they're called a stranger. That's why the man you're not married to is called a stranger. That's why they're called a stranger, okay? You don't know them. You may know them on the street. You may know their name. But they're still not yours. That's why they're a stranger, okay? Now, notice. Notice this. First thing, what do? They flatter with their eyelids. They flatter with their tongue. They entice you with food, whatever. Isn't that interesting? Real sneaky, aren't they? That's the adulterer. They try to entice you with things. Try to suck you in. Con you in. That's the adulterer. See, a pretty good description, wouldn't you say? And it's exactly what it is in a spiritual sense, too. False gods try to suck you in with their cult. The JWs. Oh, well, he's a god of love. He wouldn't send nobody to hell. Wait a minute. Jesus don't send nobody to hell. You're right, JWs. Jehovah's false witness. Of course, no, God don't send no one to hell. He doesn't. You choose to go to hell. Thank you very much. You choose to go to hell. Let me clarify that. You choose to go to hell tonight. You choose to go to hell. You chose hell, and you choose heaven. It's your choice. Jesus paid the price. You know, think of an election. There's two candidates. There's the devil. He chose he voted for hell. There's Jesus. He voted for heaven. They both cast in their vote. Now it's your turn to break the vote. You could choose which one you get. When you cast your ballot, if you vote for heaven, you go to heaven. If you cast your ballot to go to hell, you go to hell. You're the one that decides the vote, buddy. Don't you say that Jesus decided that he wanted to send you to hell. No, he voted for heaven. The devil voted for hell. It's your vote that's going to break that tie-breaking vote. It's your vote that breaks the tie. Don't you go around saying Jesus wanted you to go to hell. Shut up, JW. Okay, so that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. So, no, hello. The fact is, false gods will try to flatter you just like these adulterers will. Same thing. And then you notice, it's this thing about the neighbor's wife comes in again. See, it's always coming in. It's always somebody else that's not yours. And you notice it's always about, it's not your wife. It's not two people that are unmarried. It's not two people that are planning to be married. No, these are two people. One of them is married, or both of them are married, and they're out there doing something they shouldn't be doing. That is adultery. That is fornication. One of them, in the description, is actually a woman trying to get paid to do this nonsense. Hello? That is what it is. That's what adultery is. Hello? The Bible is telling you what it all is. All you got to do is read your Bible. It answers the question. Okay. So, now, what about the ways of an adulterous woman, or we could also say man? What about the ways of them? What about the ways of the adulterous woman or man? Well, let's look in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 through 20. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 to 20. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 through 20.
There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness.
Look at that. The person who wrote the book of Proverbs, obviously Solomon, he says, there's some things I know here and some things that make me wonder, make me think. And these make me really think hard and make me stand in awe, if you will. And he says, the eagle in the air, the serpent on a rock, and a ship in the sea. But then he says, one other, the ways of the adulterous woman. She eats, she wipes her mouth, and then says, I didn't do nothing wrong. I've never done no sin. Well, basically, also, you could say the adulterous man. I ain't do no sin. I've never... Wait a minute. I know some church folks the same way. I ain't no sinner. Yeah, sounds like sinless perfection to me. Well, I never sin. Excuse me. You're just as much a sinner as I am, pal. You better get your wicked heart right, you buzzard bait. Yeah, but wait a minute. Yeah, they can. Oh, well, excuse me. If you're messing with somebody... and they're married, and you know they're married, and you're not married to them, excuse me, and we'll be getting into that about multiple marriage, as I already mentioned a little earlier in the intro, excuse me, if you're not married to them, for a biblical reason, as we'll be getting to later in this part of the message, excuse me, then you're committing adultery, which means that's why you could stand there and say, oh, I didn't do nothing wrong, excuse me, you buzzard bait. Get your wicked heart right. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, now, have you ever considered this question? If you're an adulterer or a whore, and you get knocked up, especially a whore, well, most whores are smart enough to protect themselves, but sometimes they get knocked up, meaning get pregnant. But adulterers, okay, they get the same problem. It's happened, and everybody knows it too. Get pregnancies, unwanted ones. And you end up with, obviously, a seed or a pregnancy. That's what we're about to talk about. Well, what kind of seed is it? Well, the Bible talks about that too. Didn't know that, did you? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 through 4.
The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorcerers, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood?
Okay, as you'll notice, the Bible doesn't say that these people are not people. It just says that they're the seed of falsehood, the seed of those who are illegitimate, that are a falsehood of non-married parents. Doesn't mean they're not people. So, you Christians, you snobs, coming back on you. When you start sticking your nose up at people that were children of unmarried parents, as we would call them, bastards, according to Hebrews 12:8, when you start sticking your nose up at them, let me tell you something. You're no better than they are. Oh, I'm going to say that again. When you stick your nose up at a person who was the child of a whore or the child of illegitimate parents who were never married, you are no better than they are. Snob! So get your wicked, dirty, scummy heart right. because you're no better than they are, because they are a human being too. Just because they're the seed of somebody like that, it wasn't their fault that they were born of parents like that. It's the parents' sin that caused their birth, not their fault. But at least the parents didn't go compound one sin, the adultery and the fornication, with another called murder, called abortion. So you dirty scumbag, what would you rather them do? Take one sin and compound it with another called abortion? You dirty scumbag, you. You sit there and say, well, we're against abortion, but yet you are against bastard children? What kind of dirty, double-tongued, fork-tongued devils are you anyway? Nobody can win with you, you scumbag snobs, can they? In the churches. No wonder nobody wants to come to church. They can't win if they're poor. They can't win if their children are bastards. They can't win if they're not rich. They can't win if they got wrinkles in their clothes. All your rules, you might as well go back to the Orthodox Jews. In fact, the Orthodox Jews, people would do better off than the Orthodox Jews, because at least they don't have all them rules. The Orthodox Jews have a lot less rules than you do. Snobs! Amen. You don't like that preaching now, do you? Well, go ahead and shut off the message. Then you'll be proving me right. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. Prove me right. I dare you. I guarantee by the end of this message, you're not going to like me. Well, that's all right. You may not be having you may not be liking me, but I'm sure having a blast. Okay. Our next scripture has to deal with this. The adulterer hides his face. The adulterer hides his face. And we find that in Job chapter 24 and verse 15. Job chapter 24, verse 15. Job chapter 24, verse 15.
The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face.
Well, now, you see that? It's obvious. The adulterer, well, they wait for the twilight. They don't do it during the day. Now, see, if they're married, that's what they do, because they can't stand to be caught. Now, see, if they were two people that were, quote, unmarried, unquote, do you think they're going to do it in the twilight only? Of course not, because it's not, quote, adultery, unquote. That's why. See, the Bible makes a good description of it. Come on, Dr. Broadbottom. Come on, all you disciples of Dr. Broadbottom. If you'd read your Bible, God made it very plain. He said, they wait for the twilight. Why? Because no one shall see me. Now, had this been two people that were, quote, unmarried, the young boy and the young girl, they would have done that, but they don't. Why? The only time that they're doing it, because you Christians, is because they're afraid of mommy and daddy getting mad about it. And they sneak behind your back, but they don't do it in behind dark. They just do it in a parked car in some alley, because that's the only place they can do it, because they sure enough, now if they had your permission, they'd do it at home. They'd be necking in front of you. But they sure as heck wouldn't do it in the twilight. Hello? If they had permission to hug and kiss in front of you, they probably would.
But if you told them the truth about love, marriage, and sex, they would know that it wasn't supposed to be until a proper time and a proper point, okay? And we're going to get into the point of when is it proper and when is it not. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, okay? But the point is, the adulterer waits for the twilight, is what the scripture said. Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Okay, now, let's take a look at what the Bible says about being partakers with adulterers. Partakers with adulterers. Let's take a look in Psalms 50 and verse 18. Psalms 50 and verse 18. Psalms 50 and verse 18.
When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentedst with him and hast been partaker with adulterers.
You catch that. Did you really catch it? It says, if you see a thief, basically, you're an accessory to theft. It's just the same as you're being a partaker with adultery. God takes the same stand on accessory to theft, stealing, as he does, I mean, just accessory to theft, as being a partaker with adultery. Partaker. That means if you're committing adultery, outside sex outside of a quote marriage, unquote, it's the same as being an accessory. Not actually doing the stealing, but being an accessory to it. And we know what God says about stealing. He says, thou shalt not steal. Pretty heavy stuff. Pretty heavy stuff. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Pretty heavy here. Better read your Bible. Okay, now, the most familiar passages that everybody knows about adultery. But the problem is, this set of scripture, and there's actually two comparative scriptures here, everybody knows about them, but the problem is, what they don't know is they don't realize that these scriptures are not in reference to what they're not realizing is they don't give you actual directive as to what it is. All they say is you're not supposed to do something. Okay? Like when you tell a kid, well, don't touch something. Well, you don't tell them why. Well, that's what these scriptures are about. These are the Ten Commandments in both places. So let's look at the comparative verses, and then we'll explain it. First one is found in Exodus, which is very familiar. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
The next is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21.
Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's.
Okay, now, did you catch those? Of the two, one says covet, the other one says coveting, but in reference says, makes it plain. You shall not desire. That's what it is. To desire or be greedy or want something that is not yours. That's what coveting is. So you're not supposed to want, and it gave you a list of things there, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife. That's what adultery is. See, that's what really adultery is all about. Adultery is wanting your neighbor's wife with a lust in your eye for something that you shouldn't be having because it's your neighbor's. Desiring it above everything else. That's what adultery is. Wanting something that you cannot have because it's your neighbor's. That's what it is. That's your neighbor's wife. You can't have her. That's what adultery is. He's your neighbor's, quote, wife, unquote. As long as we get that straight, we'd have it straight. But no, we got to say, well, adultery is, you know, the little boy, Dr. Broadbottom. It's the young boy or the young man or old man who is, quote, unmarried. And the young boy, young woman, or young woman, young girl, young woman, or old woman who is, quote, unmarried, unquote, together having a sexual relation. Because both of them are, quote, unmarried, unquote. Because both are unmarried and they're having a relationship. Wait a minute. If both of them are unmarried, if the boy is unmarried, if the teenage boy and the teenage girl are both, quote, unmarried, unquote, and they both are not having any kind of marriage with anybody, there is no adultery. One of them to meet the rule of adultery must be, quote, married, unquote. Read your Bible. That's adultery. So far that we're seeing, Dr. Broadbottom, read your Bible. It's in there, whether you like it or not. Obviously, though, he hasn't, because he has to put his own interpretation and spin on this. Okay.